Joshua chapter 3 verse 5. Bear with my health right now, okay? Agpanathenga kagabsat. The Bible says in Joshua 3, 5, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." We would like to take that verse from its context, whatever it is, to our present context in the 2023 and apply it and claim it to God that the Lord will do wonders among us this year. Heavenly Father, we come to you with thanksgiving and praise. We are nothing without you. All that we are, all that we have, all that we will ever be and will ever have is just a stewardship from you. And help us to become good and faithful stewards of the manifold blessings. Thank you that this verse teaches us and encourages us to attempt great things because we can expect great things from you. I pray that you bless our message. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may now be seated. I also would like to acknowledge and welcome all our viewers on YouTube. I don't have a YouTube monitor right now, but how many do we have? We have 13 folks watching on YouTube right now, okay? But wherever you are, welcome. And we are glad to have you with us here at HBBC Waipaho Worship Service, okay? Are you ready for God's Word?
Amen.
Now, I'd like for you to center and focus your attention on the last part of the verse in Joshua 3:5, where it says, "For tomorrow." Tomorrow speaks of a future event, a future activity, a future agenda. Tomorrow. Tomorrow does not just mean to us tomorrow as in day after today. Of course, in that context, it was the day after that day. God said, Joshua said, tomorrow. In other words, not today, but tomorrow. Not yesterday, but tomorrow. It's good to reflect on the wonders of God of yesteryear, of yesterday, of the past. Like last year, 2022, God did wonderful things. To God be the glory for the last 2 years, even in the midst of pandemic, the Lord had allowed us to build sanctuaries, to purchase properties that are needful, beneficial, and essential in the conduct of our ministry and the fulfillment of our vision and mission. For the past 2 years, glory to God, we were able to purchase a memorial park, almost 6,000 square meters, located at Pasugin, Ilocos Norte. And I don't know who among of you is looking forward to be the first one to be buried amongst the members alive right now, but praise God. If we don't worry anymore about where we're going when we die because we are saved in Christ Jesus, we don't worry where we will be buried because, of course, for you in the States, you have to be flown over here. But we have a place where we could bury our dead bodies. Anyway, praise the Lord for that wonderful achievement. Not many churches were given that kind of ability and power to purchase a memorial park. Even churches in the city, in Manila, Cebu City, or Davao City, three major cities in the Philippines, not many churches I know have been given that kind of capacity or ability to purchase a memorial park. And praise God, what an achievement. And, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, the Lord allowed us to build the sanctuary in Claveria, Cagayan. It's now one of the most beautiful edifices in that town. It's one of the most beautiful Baptist sanctuary in the whole of Cagayan. There are many beautiful sanctuaries in Cagayan. But praise God, the Lord allowed us to build a sanctuary that is very presentable before God and presentable to the community. You won't hesitate to invite even the governor to come and attend because it's very presentable. We praise God for the opportunity to have repainted our three-story edifice in Pasukin, purchase the mission house right next to that property, and repair the HBBC Lawag Sanctuary. And finally, this multi-million property, no, multi-million building here in Bacaraan. Praise God. These are all the wonders that God had done through us in the past 2 years. But the focus of the message is not about yesteryear's wonder. It's not about 2022 or 2021. It's about tomorrow. Look at the verse again. For tomorrow. In other words, God wants us to focus on future. God wants us to focus not on the past, not on the present. Of course, we have to do something in the present, but God wants us to focus on tomorrow. He said, tomorrow. To them, it was the day after that day. And to us, it is the months and weeks and days from today. Tomorrow. What do we look forward for tomorrow? See, many people look forward this year like, well, I'll go here, visit here. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, I would like for you to realize what the Bible says. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, that tells us to expect something. Amen? What are you expecting to happen this year? Are you expecting something to happen this year? Ask your seatmate, what are you expecting to happen in your life this year? Are you expecting something or not? See, the Lord will do wonders. The word wonders means great. It means beyond human capacity. It's beyond our human ability. It's great. It's only something that God can do. No human can do it. Only God can. The Lord will do wonders among you. It is something that the Lord will do, and only Him can make it happen. And so there are four things that we expect the Lord will do and will give and will perform in us and through us this year here at the HBBC, as His church, as His family, and as His people. First, I mentioned to you that the Lord will help us do great endeavors. Great endeavor. We will expect great endeavor. Endeavor means a task to be fulfilled, a goal to be achieved, a point and aim to reach. Praise the Lord. Yesterday afternoon, we had our evaluation and planning and goal setting with our pastors and preachers and key people and all who are willing to serve God this year. We heard wonderful reports. How many baptized members? How many new believers? Souls won? Tracts distributed? And what a thrill and excitement to hear their plans. What our key people and coordinators intend to do to expand and enlarge our coast this year in the respective places of ministry. And what a blessing. We will do a lot of great endeavors. Number two, not only that we will expect great endeavor, but we will expect great results. We will expect great results. Hello? Are you expecting great results? Okay. Number three, we will also expect great, come on, just put it there. Put all the four. Great endeavor, great results, great blessings. There you go. We will expect great blessings from God. Well, perhaps you come to me and say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through series of trials and series of problems. At times, you know, the Christian life is not only a series of blessing. It's also a series of affliction. When life becomes tough and hard and difficult, you know what? The essence when we say life is tough and hard and difficult is, it makes the problems of life makes it for us hard, difficult, and tough to serve God. We want to serve God. We want to obey His word. We want to fulfill His mandate for us. But there are many obstacles, hindrances that make it difficult for us to do it. But I would like for you to know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. That means that God can turn your affliction into a wonderful blessing. God can turn your tragedies this year. I hope no tragedies will come to you. But if perhaps it comes, don't lose hope, because God can turn your tragedies into testimonies. God can turn your burdens into a blessing. God can turn your mess. And I hope you will not make a mess out of your life. But if the devil will try to make a mess out of your life, God can turn that mess into a message. Because he promised to make all things work together for good. In other words, blessings in disguise. So whatever comes, whether good or bad, positive or negative, what you expect or what you do not expect, you can always hope in God that what God has in mind is only to bless you and not to harm you. To bless you and not to destroy you. To bless you and not to make your life miserable. Praise God. We have a faithful God who promised to bless us. Hello?
Amen.
Are you still alive?
Amen.
And that is why, you know, we should not hesitate to pray. Because God is excited to hear your prayers. Do you have your prayers ready for God? To God. Amen. He's excited only to hear a prayer, but he's excited to answer your prayer. And when God will answer your prayer, it will be a great answer, because he said, "Call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So if there's one thing that you need to build up in your life this year, it's your prayer life. Pray, not P-R-E-Y. It's P-R-A-Y. See, there are many Christians, there are many members, all they do is pray, P-R-E-Y. They eat and consume their brothers and sisters. They gossip. Pray, P-R-E-Y. No, don't pray, P-R-E-Y. You pray, P-R-A-Y. Amen. P-R-E-Y will destroy you, destroy our church, destroy our community. But P-R-A-Y, pray, will build us up and will strengthen our influence. So we will expect what? Great. We'll expect great endeavor. We'll expect great blessings. We will expect great results. And we will expect great revival. Oh, if there is anyone among you, you know, you are not yet very active in the church, I pray that one of the wonderful things that can happen to you is that you will become active. Isn't it wonderful if somebody who does not used to come to church will suddenly be there and say, "Wow, brother, you're here. That's wonderful. Wonders. It's great." You know, a Christian who does not used to give, does not used to be generous, you know, now starts to become generous, starts to step out of faith and obey God and prove God and challenge God and, you know, trust God no matter what. That's wonderful. Now listen to me. That's the first half of our message. Now listen. Joshua commanded the people that if they are to see great wonders, and that is given, it is given that the Lord will do great wonders, but they would have to prepare themselves. That's why going back to the verse in Joshua 3:5, he said, "Sanctify yourselves." That means they have to prepare themselves. Get themselves ready. Cleanse themselves. Prepare their heart. Prepare their mind. Prepare themselves. Because the Lord is about to do wonders. Listen to me. The question today is, what preparation you and I should make for this year? It is given that the Lord will do great endeavors, give great blessings, and produce great results, and great revival. Now, what should we do to prepare ourselves this year in order to see these things happen in our lives? I would like to give to you this statement. Just put the statement on the screen. Everybody read together. Ready? Begin. Give God a reason to bless you this year through your spiritual goals.
Amen.
Give God a reason to bless you this year through your spiritual goals. Now, who among of you believe that God wants to bless? Okay. If you believe that God wants to bless, my question is, why? Why would God want to bless you? Could you give him a reason? Now, we would always say, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless my family. Lord, bless my job. But what I would like to teach you now is to give God a reason to bless you through setting spiritual goals. It is vital for you and I to set spiritual goals, because spiritual goals will intensify your prayer. You have a reason to ask God for a blessing. It's just like a mayor here in the Philippines. If he wants to go to a higher authority like the Congress or the Senate or even the President and request for a budget, he comes to the congressman and say, I am requesting for 5 million pesos. And then the congressman will say, what project do you intend to do? And the mayor replies, I don't have a project that I intend to do, but I need you to give me 5 million pesos budget. Do you think the congressman will give it? No, because the budget is intended for a project. The blessing of God is intended for you and me to become a blessing. But if we do not aim, we do not intend, we do not plan how we can be a blessing, why would God bless you? Hello? Why would God bless you this year? See, if you want God to bless you this year, then you have to intend and plan and sit down and pray. Look how you can be a blessing this year. So ask your seatmate, do you like to be a blessing this year?
Amen.
Question, in what ways you should become a blessing this year? That is why you need to set your spiritual goals. And there are many goals that you can set in your life. You know, we have a brother here who messaged me last January 2nd. Let me just share this brother with you. In our church, in our main church, I required our choir members to write down their goals and submit them to me. Why? Because I want to be their partner in prayer. And I would like God to grant all of their heart's desires. I require our choir to do that. We have 31, I think, members in the choir. I required our orchestra, the kids playing the violin, the flute, all of them. I required them to write their goals this year and submit them to me. I required our AV. We have almost 15 members doing the AV, to make sure that our service here in the main sanctuary is aired live all throughout different parts of the world. We have 15 doing that. I required them to write their goals and submit them to me. And I required our key people, our coordinators, our person in charge in Sarat, Vintar, San Nicolas, all of them, our pastors, I required them to write their goals and submit them to me. And as of this morning, I already have 80% of all of those goals submitted to me. I reviewed them one after the other, prayerfully. And my, what a delight to see, to know, to realize how that the Word of God that we have preached for the past few years is taking effect through their goals. In other words, the Word of God is now directing their desires and goals in life. That their goals are not being driven by emotions, that their goals are not being driven by their carnal desires, but their goals and plans are being influenced and driven by the vision of HBBC, by the mission of our church, and by the teachings of the Word of God. That's what you call a spiritual goal. It is a goal that is driven and influenced by spirituality or by the Word of God. And, you know, Last January 2nd, there's a couple who shared with me and said, Pastor, I would like to share with you my goal for God this year. And he said, as husband and wife, our goal is to increase our tithes from 10% to 15% by God's grace. My. See, tithes is 10%. The Bible is very clear, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. Malachi 3:10, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, said the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's the verse. And, you know, we've been taught to bring our tithes into the storehouse. And the storehouse is the church, where these offerings are stored for a use or for a purpose. Not for profit, but for a purpose. And for the purpose of the expansion and advancement of the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this couple were convicted to increase their giving of tithes from 10% to 15%. In other words, if they are receiving like, okay, $5,000 a month, then they will increase their giving from $500 to $750. $250 on top of $500. If you have a tight budget, if you have a lot of obligations, and you have a lot of needs, 250 is not nothing. 250 is something, you know. But look, this brother would like to exercise his faith because he has proven that God was faithful to provide. He has proven that God was faithful with his word to bless and honor those who honor him. And he said, God, I would like to take my faith a step further. And from 10%, I will give 15%. What a wonderful goal. And I'm telling you, listen now. I would like to connect the first part of the message. Just try to imagine. Because he would increase his commitment to give his tithe from a 10% offering or tithe to a 15%. Don't you think he can expect great results,
amen,
great blessings, and great revival? In other words, if you want God to accomplish great results in your life and give great blessings to your life, question, what is your goal? What is the reason why God would have to bless you? He said, we do not have much resources as of the moment. I'm glad he said as of the moment because he is hoping that God would prosper him. But we know that God's grace will always be sufficient and we can challenge God. That is why we will give 15% of our income as our tithes by faith to God. Amen. What a blessing. We have another brother who sent me last night and he said, Pastor, I am going to increase my first fruit commitment to 40% more. 40% more. You see, these are the goals that you can set in your life right now. You take into account of your stewardship. Take into account of your stewardship of time. There are four stewardship that you need to take account into. One is your time. That means your schedule, your priorities. You have a time to work. You have a time for your family. You have a time with your friends. You must also have a time with God.
Amen.
A time to go to church. A time to attend the prayer meeting. You must set that goal. Oh. Do you realize how the Lord will bless you because you will put Him first?
Amen.
Take a look at Christians who do not care about church gathering. They go to church. They do not go to church. They don't attend prayer meeting. They don't care. They are never concerned about the church services. As a pastor, do you think I should pray, God, would you bless them? Hello? Why would you expect great blessing from God? Well, you might say, but pastor, I know of many Christians. They don't go to church. They attend prayer meeting no more. They never give their tithe. But they are blessed. Oh, really? I would like for you to know, they may be blessed, but that's not from God. Because God cannot go against His word. God cannot contradict His word. I'm sure that blessing came from the devil. You see, if you get yourself involved in gambling, would you come to God and say, Lord, bless my gambling habit. Lord, help me win a million in my bet. Lord, help me. Do you think God would bless you? And then you would come to me and say, but Pastor, I know of many people who prayed and, you know, they won. That's not from God. Because God will not contradict His word. Remember that the devil, even to the very face of our Lord Jesus Christ, he told him, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world if you will bow down and worship me. In other words, the devil has the power to offer you the kingdoms, the pleasures, the riches of this world. If only you turn your back on God. And there are many Christians who turn their back on God and they seemingly got blessed. But that's not from God. That's from the devil. Because God can never contradict His word. Hello?
Amen.
So set your spiritual goal. Look at your time. And then number two, your talents. Take into account of your talents. What are your talents? Early this year, I don't know, do we have the ministry commitment form? Huh? Did you send them the ministry commitment form? You send them the ministry commitment form. Every one of us should sign a ministry commitment form. What is that? Okay, can you show it on the screen? Okay? Make it fast. Ministry commitment form. The ministry commitment form contains all the different aspects of our ministry where you can choose a ministry where you can be a part of or you can be involved in, a ministry that you can fulfill. We have the soul winning ministry where, you know, we could get people involved in inviting people to church and passing out gospel tracts and helping out in our church planting. We have our support group where people come and help us with the AV, singing in the choir, rendering special numbers. All of these are essential parts of our service. Imagine a worship service without singing and a special number. Yeah? All preaching, you know? So praise God, we have people who are involved in these areas of ministry. We also have the maintenance group where they help clean the church. Today's Monday here in the Philippines. But listen, we have two couples who are committed and dedicated, present here, and they are cleaning the sanctuary right now. They're not paid. They come to church and render their service for free. It's a volunteer spirit. You know, we had a meeting 2 weeks ago and I told those who are coming to clean every Saturday to prepare for the sanctuary. I told them, you know what? The Lord blessed us with a wonderful place of worship. Let us maintain it with it. Let us maintain it on its mint, pristine condition.
Amen.
It should always look like brand new.
Amen.
The chairs, the ceiling, the tiles, the pulpit, the furnitures, the fixtures, the sound system, the restroom, and everything, you know. Let us maintain cleanliness because cleanliness is next to godliness. And I instructed them, I told them, you know what? We need people to come and clean Monday after the services we conduct on Sundays. And we have two couple who responded. I know they have their own works and chores at home, works to do, jobs to accomplish. But you know, they committed to come Monday morning to come and clean. You realize that? The one brother here came from South Korea. He worked in South Korea. Now he's staying in the Philippines for good. He and his wife are very faithful. They are our key people and one of our coordinators in Dingras Outreach, Brother Ray and Sister Lynn. They are now business people. You know, their kids go to school. They have 3 children. And they are here, present. We have Brother Jacobo and Sister Chato. They're cleaning here. And they clean the way Pastor John instructed them to do. They are cleaning the CR. That the goal is, you know, you can actually sleep on that CR. Napakalinis. Oh. We need people with that heart to help get the building fixed. That's the maintenance group. So check. Last first Sunday, I distributed that form to all members, and I want to make sure every member must sign that. I'm going to evaluate that today. If there are members who did not sign, I will assign somebody to go and visit that person and say, where is your ministry commitment form? We do not want members just to come and watch things happen. You see, there are 3 kinds of people in the church. 3 kinds of people in the church. Those who watch things happen. They are aware what's going on. They see what's happening. But they are just watching. You know? They love to watch things happen. They love to cheer. They love to clap their hands and good job, good job, good job. They watch things happen. The second kind of people are those who make things happen. They are those who are involved, who are sacrificing, putting a lot of effort, laboring, working, doing the task, accomplishing the duty. Those who make things happen. And third and last, those who do not know what is happening. Those who do not know what is happening. They are members. They are a part of HBBC, but they don't know what's happening. They are not even aware. We already have a new building. You know? They come here and say, oh, we already have a new building. Oh yeah, you've been absent for many years, you know. Where have you been? Those who do not know what is happening. My question to you folks there is, of those 3 kinds of people, where do you belong? Where do you belong? Are you that member who watch things happen? Are you that member who make things happen? Are you that member who does not know what is happening at all? I hope that you and I, all of us this year, will be those people who will make things happen. Why? Because God wants to produce results. God wants to bless. But we have to make things happen. Amen. Give God a reason to bless you. Amen. So take into account. Evaluate your time. Evaluate your talents where you involve yourself. And number 3, evaluate your treasures. That's your finances. You have to remember that all that you have, all that you are, all that you will ever be and will ever have is a stewardship from God. You don't literally own anything. God owns everything. We are simply stewards, caretakers at that. And our mindset is to become good and faithful. And as a steward of these treasures, God had blessed us to be a blessing. Why is the Dead Sea dead? Because it keeps receiving. No exit. It just keeps receiving and receiving and receiving water, containing it to itself. But never have an exit of its own water. It's Dead Sea. There are many Dead Sea Christians. All they want is to receive and receive and receive and receive and receive and receive. I'm telling you, if you are a boxer like Manny Pacquiao, you will never get to become a champion. If you keep receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving, you have to give. You have to give and give and give and give and give. So you will win. And there are many defeated Christians today because they have not learned the principle of giving. The Bible says, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. But there is he that withholdeth, more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. That's called hoarding. God had blessed us to be a blessing. God had created everything to give. Created the sun to give light. Created the moon to give light at night. Created all of the fish, the cattle, and everything for our food. Created the trees to give shade, to provide wood and timber for our houses. Everything that God had provided are meant to share. Hello? Why did God create you? For your own pleasure? No, for His pleasure, for His glory, for His honor. It's about time you realize you are not the God of yourself. He is our God. We are His people. We are His children. We are His steward. And we must learn to give.
Amen.
Blessed to be a blessing. So evaluate your giving this year. I'm so happy. You know, yesterday, after the service, my wife showed to me a note. He said, "Mahal ko, look at this. These are my giving goals this year, me and the kids." So we have 3 kids, Kirk, Kat, and Keon. So I look at her note, and my, I was delighted because it's the same way my mom would usually, it's how my mom trained us to become cheerful givers. See, I saw in her notes her tithe goals, giving a tithe, love offering goals, mission offering goals for our missions, give to pastor goals, first fruit goals. And her goal is not a single Sunday, not a single service that she could not give something to the Lord. She and our kids, you know, they have to give something to the Lord. Do not allow a moment the offering passes, because whenever the offering passes, whenever the offering comes, it's always an opportunity. Don't miss it out.
Amen.
See? And May comes, May 7 will be our Pastor's Sunday, the senior pastor's birthday celebration. Although, you know, she's my wife, I'm her husband, but she's also a member of our church. And she has an obligation to me, not only as her husband, but as her pastor. So she has her senior pastor's birthday offering goal. So I know how much she will give to me as a gift on my birthday. She also has the patriarch's birthday gift goal. And the first fruit goal on November, all of that. And without that, I mean, having that, you can come to God and present that list and say, "God, these are my goals this year. We have limited resources. We are not rich. We don't have much. We only have your grace. And we know that your grace is greater than any hardship. Your grace is greater than any difficulty. Your grace is greater than our needs. Your grace is greater than our goals. And I trust that you will provide for all of this." Man, what an amazing thing to testify at the end of the year that you have seen great results because of you have set your goal. That you could testify the Lord had blessed. That you would say the Lord had blessed. What blessing? What context of blessing? The Lord had blessed my goals. That the Lord had not only helped me fulfill my goal, but even exceeded my goals. And even be able to double it. So take into account your finances. And lastly, take into account your testimony or your influence. My question to you is, who can you influence for God this year? Your family, your children. It's about time that the influence that should rule, reign, dominate our family is not a worldly influence. It's not a carnal influence. It's not an evil influence or satanic influence. The influence that should dominate our families and our world today is a godly influence. And that begins with you and me. So as a family, you will think, okay, every other night we will have our family devotion where I would gather my kids and we would talk and sing songs about God and read the Bible and reflect on the message from last Sunday. Hello? Godly influence. You could start to reach out to your colleagues at work and give them tracts and invite them to church. You know what? it's good to be blessed by God, but you need to come and attend and listen to our pastor. You will be blessed. You will gain a lot of wonderful things. But brethren, take into account these four things. If you want to see great results, great endeavor, great blessing, great revival, evaluate your time, evaluate your talents, evaluate your treasures, evaluate your testimony, and set good goals for the glory of God this year. Can I get your amen?
Amen.
Lord God, thank you so much for this afternoon. We've been challenged. We've been inspired. I pray that you continue, Lord, to influence us in a very personal way. May not this message pass without accomplishing its purpose in our lives. I pray that you would touch us and move us so strong moving that we would really sit down and pray and set our goals this year. Be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. Amen.